Well, I want to make sure that we get into our presentation. Disaster is something that's not new to the Lutherans in Chile. Just 4 years ago, in 2010, there was an enormous disaster that we responded to. And it was really during that disaster and our response that really got the Chilean church thinking about what is the role of mercy in theology. Some of you might have seen the video, but I wanted to show you the video of what is the joint response that we did as LCMS and the Lutheran Church in Chile, and how did that happen a few years ago. That'll set the stage so you can kind of see the dynamics, what they did 3 years ago, and then you can see what they've been doing this year as Pastor Christian and Pastor Lopez will be giving a case study on what's been happening this year with their newest disaster.
Ahí estábamos, sentimos el temblor, nosotros no íbamos a arrancar. Y cuando, después nos dijeron unos vecinos, ahí viene la ola y ahí arrancamos.
On February 27th, 2010, a magnitude 8.8 earthquake in Chile fueled a tsunami so powerful, hundreds of thousands of people lost their homes. More than 500 lost their lives. Reverend Christian Rautenberg, president of the Confessional Lutheran Church of Chile, we'll never forget the sorrow of families searching through the rubble.
The dead people. The dead. Yeah. And many people find her relatives. It was the worst thing.
Hundreds of miles separated the nearest Lutheran congregation from two hard-hit communities, Talca and Constitución. Damaged roads made travel more difficult, but the pastors were determined to put Christ at the quake's epicenter. They asked LCMS Disaster Response to lend a hand.
In those first days, as we walked through the debris field and stood and prayed and talked with people in Constitución, and we watched family members lining the shore, waiting to see if their loved ones would be recovered from the harbor, we had the opportunity to minister to them, but also to encourage our church partners as they ministered in those communities.
Before the disaster, the six Chilean Lutheran pastors were already stretched thin, serving 350 members. But these men spend little time in offices. They see communities as mission fields. With LCMS Disaster Response at their side, the pastors walked the shattered streets, listening, talking, and praying with hurting people.
So tsunami changed your life.
El tsunami te cambió la vida.
Sí, por completo, por completo. Me cambió por completo la vida.
As the Chilean pastors checked on the homeless and assessed needs, they made a vow to return and offer as much assistance as possible. LCMS support helped our partner church in Chile keep that promise.
After meetings with the leadership of the Chilean Lutheran Church, we determined an action plan which would allow them to respond more effectively and with some resources provided by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Que ahora por lo menos tenemos una comunidad como poder vivir más tranquilo.
Everything we suffer because of the earthquake, now we can say that we are fine, we're doing well, thanks to the Lutheran Church and the help we received from them.
And she's saying too that she received the new apartment. And our missionary was in that place to bless.
The quake also turned the lives of the Chilean pastors and their families upside down. LCMS Disaster Response veterans knew how much their brothers in Christ needed spiritual care to remain healthy and strong for ministry.
It was our privilege to be present with Carlos and Christian and Alejandro and Omar as we walked around the communities, just stopping and visiting with people. But as we had the opportunity to observe our colleagues, and to realize that they too were suffering because of this disaster, and to provide them with some pastoral care at that time.
With the help of caring donors, the LCMS provided $326,000 in grants for emergency and long-term recovery needs. That support opened new doors to the gospel through a missionary call to serve where once there had been no Lutheran presence.
Que gracias porque mandaron al Pastor Omar.
Gracias por mandar al Pastor Omar.
Sí.
As the recovery efforts continued, and a new mission start was planted in Talca, and Pastor Omar Kinnis began to serve there, they also had the opportunity to start a children's Bible study in the city of Constitution. And from those two initial efforts, there now are two mission congregations in those locations, and the church body continues to serve the people of both communities, meeting needs, psychological needs, physical needs, emotional needs, but most importantly, spiritual needs.
3 years after the disaster, Pastor Rautenberg recalls how God led Lutherans to help suffering people, and how lives once full of despair were touched with eternal hope. Such mercy work could not be accomplished alone.
Last big earthquake in Chile in 2010 was awful, but also opportunity to show Christ, show the cross of Christ to these people with the help of other churches, especially church like Argentina, Paraguay, Brazil, Canada, and almost Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
As their country continues to recover, Chilean Lutherans, motivated by Christ's love and with LCMS support, continue to serve, a model of disaster response ministry that brings new blessings even today.
It's amazing to me that the members of this very small church body could pull together and touch the lives of so many with mercy, reaching out to the children who before had not even attended church and now are gladly attending church, reaching out to those who are now members of that small mission church and helping them rebuild their homes, and even renovating a church building for them so that they have a place to meet, and it also serves as a community center. Thanks be to God.
It was literally just a few weeks after, or a few months after they were finishing up their 3-year long-term plan of helping out with this earthquake, when we got a phone call and we were reading in the news from President Christian that in 1 week earlier this year, there was another enormous earthquake like what they experienced before, with literally tens of thousands of people displaced in Chile, living in tents, no longer able to live or find places to rent, but no longer able to live in their old apartments. And also, in the same week that they had the earthquake, there was also a fire in one of their main cities where a forest fire from the hillside came in and burned down over 3,000 houses. People ran out of their houses with nothing but the clothes on their back, and they came back to nothing but literally ashes. So he gave us a phone call and said, hey, it's happened again. Could you help us come up with an action plan again? So myself, Michael Meyer, a couple others went down to Chile and created an action plan. And we invited Christian and Pastor Lopez to come and talk to us about what that action plan is, what they're doing, what's happened, and what their vision for the future is. Please help me welcome them with a round of applause.
Good morning.
Bueno, good morning. My name is Alejandro. Soy pastor en Viña del Mar. Trabajé y serví tanto en Talca, Iquique ahora y Valparaíso.
Let me try to translate. He's Alejandro Lopez. He's the vice president of our church and is a pastor in Viña del Mar. He worked a lot in South, in Talca and Constitution. And right now, he's working too, especially in the fireplaces.
Lamentablemente, no hablo inglés.
Por tanto, you understand this.
Por tanto,
Michu.
Por tanto, para no prolongar y estar duplicando la información.
If we translate Spanish to English, we need the double of the time. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Es por eso que Christian hablará por nosotros.
And then I will talk a lot for him. Okay. Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here and to learn how we can do better things in Chile. The purpose of this conference for us is to hear your ministries, your response, and take ideas and ways to the world to work in our country. I only like to put, I call this presentation, sorry, disaster as opportunities for the gospel and the mercy, and not for mercy and the gospel, because this is our history in Chile. Incredible when disasters came, God opens door for our church. And this is our experience. Even this, we believe, like Lutherans, that the Lutheran theology is based on experience, but our doctrine defines what we can do or what we believe or our practice. This is important because if we are working in mercy, we do because we receive the mercy of Christ and we can't stay quiet. We need to share the gift of Christ with the people that are suffering. And the people in north, in south, and in Valparaíso, in the place of the fires, they are asking us, and they said us, that the only thing that they need from us is the spiritual help. The other thing is that the church does not offer mercy by the law. We have the privilege to being like Jesus, that is to think and act like him. And then mercy is action. But for us in Chile, mercy is bound to the public office. What does this mean? In our first experience in 2010, people ask us first spiritual help and then material help. And then each voluntary team send it by the south. We sent in 2010 13 voluntary team, 5 lays with 1 pastor, each team, working together. And for us, I hope that, and when I finish my presentation, you agree with me that the Chilean case confirms in practice what we believe, teach, and confess like Lutherans. Well, Chile is an earthquake country and probably is one of the best into the world prepared to receive earthquakes. It happened each day, but nobody can be prepared for receive an 8.8 earthquake. Or, like this year, 8.2. 2010 was a moment that changed Chile because affected 8 million people. 2 million people were suffering damages in their houses. Around 700 people died. The earthquake in Chile changed the map, moved the continent, moved Chile around 10 meters. But also changed our church, because after 2010, we never watched a disaster only in one way. And changed our church because God put us in that places. When you see to 2010, our church was only in Valparaíso, Viña del Mar, and Quilpué. In 2007, we Lutheran our ministry, a new mission in the capital of the country, in Santiago. But right now, 2014, we have, obviously, five regions. Here happened the fires. In Santiago, with two missions. In Talca and Constitution, we are planting other two congregations. And right now, we are working in Iquique. What's the problem? 2,000 kilometers from Santiago to Iquique. To take a flight, you need 3 hours. And driving is 24 hours driving to get the place. What we learned in these 4 years, first, we didn't talk more about social work, but about mercy. This is a real change for us, because for many years we put all work in mercy of our church in terms of social works. But a few years ago, all people knows this idea of the theology of mercy that is in our confessions in the Bible change some point of view, because put our action through our doctrine. We are convinced that the gospel of the cross alone shows Christ who is present in human suffering. And it is only for Lutherans. In 2010, came to the emergency accounts the Pentecostals and says, "Repentance, repentance. God is punish you." Catholics, no. The priests are in their parish, in their chapels, waiting for the people. And when we go to the places, we show Christ. God is with you. God not leave you. He loves you. Well, and for this reason, I say that the church answered primarily by bringing Christ to the people through her pastors. I say this because we are not a government. We are the church body. We are the church of Christ. And, well, of course, we learned that a disaster is an opportunity for sharing the gospel. And when you share and when you show Christ, is of course, then the people ask you the presence of the church, like a congregation. They ask you the sacraments, too. But we learn too that each one can do this on his own, but we do better when we're together. And was amazing our situation in 2010, because for many years, decades, we talk about that the Lutherans are one body. And we have communion. We are one because we have communion of altar and pulpit, but sometimes this is only words. But in 2010, we feel that this is real. It's not only word. Well, and we prepare for response in a better way, of course. When we walk with the people, when we visit the people, a disaster is an opportunity for the gospel, not by force the people, but because all time they ask us, because you are helping me. And the answer need to be because Christ shows us his mercy, and the mercy of Christ is showing us to the cross. The importance of the sister churches for us was putting last year in the first Latin America disaster conference that we put all together presidents, president of the seminaries, presidents of the lay women, women's league, and youth, and all put together in Santiago to learn together how we can do better things, obviously, together. Without the help of the other churches, we didn't respond in the way that we did. Well, what is doing in South after 4 years? We sent the missionary, the Pastor Omar Quinas, that was working with me in Santiago in 2011. Okay, 2011? Yeah, 2011. We are planting 2 congregations. We call a deacon and a diaconess that they were sent to the place. It's a family that is living in Constitution at the community center. These 2 congregations are growing. The material help, real material help, finished 2 years or 3 years ago. But when we start to finish our mercy work, people says, how are you living? No, we need that to be here. You need to, the church, Lutheran church, stay with us forever. And after the installation, the first confirmation class was in 2012 was the first, the first baptism and confirmation class. But even this in 2012, we have only in Constitution 10 baptizes in the neighbor where we work. Word and sacrament in action. But the interesting is that is a people that receive mercy now shows mercy. The first congregations that offers his help in the 2 new disasters in Chile were the congregations in South. The first offerings, the first lay people that offer his time, his efforts, his food, his clothes to help in these new 2 new disasters came from South for the 2 new congregation. And this is really, really, really good. Well, we are talking that Chile is an earthquake country. This year, we felt this again. Really, in north of Chile, we have 3 earthquakes. The first was in March, 7.0. Then April 1st, 8.2, and then April 2nd, 7.7. The place, the epicenter was at the front of Iquique. Iquique is the capital of the region of Tarapacá in the north of Chile. You can see how many geographically, the earthquake affects Chile, Bolivia, and Peru, and a little part from Argentina. But the worst city that was affected, the biggest city affected was Iquique, and another city called Alto Hospicio. This earthquake was the biggest into the world in 2014, and was the biggest in Chile after 2010. In that region, in north of Chile, not exist register of another earthquake since 1877. Okay. Well, but like I say, the problem is that that place is 2,000 kilometers from Santiago. We call this earthquake a liar earthquake, because when you walk, when you see the houses, you can see houses normally, but when you enter into the houses, you can watch the damages in all infrastructure. This is the Iquique city, and this is the road to Alto Hospicio. We register, only we, walking 300 houses like this. Nobody can live in that place. That place needs to be rebuilt. What happened? What happened with the people, with the families, in the time that the government or the other institution or themselves need to rebuild? They need to destroy this house, and then they need to rebuild. We travel 2 days after the earthquake to Iquique to see with our own eyes. It was our experience in 2010, not to send nothing, but go to the places and see what is happening. One of the first persons that received us was a man called Pablo. Pablo was with his family in a barrack, because when the earthquake came and the tsunami alarms start to sound, people run. And when people run, people think only in themselves and not in another people. Old people suffering was abandoned. Children lost their fathers because the people only run and scream. We have videos with old city scream. Can you imagine 2,000 people scream? It's real. It's not good. Believe me. When Pablo and his family saw us, watched us, he said his arms into the heaven, and he says, "Thanks God, because you sent the church to us." And he said, "We don't need anything else than all you." We travel to Iquique once a month, 1 week. No, it's not 1 week, 1 weekend. Friday to Monday from April. We only visit the place 6 times right now. But, well, we work really... You can see people live in barracks, in parks. It's a desert. It's not a good place. Water is a first need, of course, in that places. We share with us water, soups, and other things to primary to the first emergency. Sorry. Okay, but Chile, after this April earthquake, shows us that Chile is also a fire country, because 2 weeks before the earthquake came a big fire, a mega fire, we call mega fire, that affected, destroyed 3,000 houses. The earthquake destroyed 11,000 houses. And now the fire destroyed 3,000 houses. But this is in our city, in the places that our church born. We know many people that passed for this situation. Relatives from Pastor Alejandro died. Families from our school suffering, lost their homes, lost their houses. But we only was start our work, our action plan to help North, and then came this fire. How we can respond? A small church, only 5 pastors, 400 members. How we can? Can we respond? Can we really help to the people? This fire is the biggest fire into the history in Chile. I never saw something like this. When we walk into the houses, we cry, really cry, because it's like many bombs destroy a place, and people only could run with clothes. They lost everything, pictures, remembers, obviously their houses. It's not only material things, their history was lost in that place. Can a little church really help? Well, we learn and we apply the same, we do the same things that we do in 2010. The disaster coordinator teams meeting, this team is formed by pastors and lay people, and we agree that we'll respond as much as is possible for us, but primary bringing Christ, the crucified one. We get 4 tons is correct word, 4 tons of between food, only when our own resources, food, clothes, and many things to respond in Valparaíso and in Iquique. All church human resources look at the disaster. All pastors focus in their response to the disaster. This means that we move our pastors and lay people to help in the disaster response. Our 2 schools help to clean and to donate many things for then the church can use these things to help. We develop, of course, an action plan, not putting big things, but putting small things that we can do, but these small things can change lives. Dividing our five pastors in 2.5. No. Really, 3 pastors focus in Valparaíso, and other 2 focus in Iquique. The pastor Omar Quinas in South, and we are focused in Iquique, and other 3 pastors, Pastor Alejandro, Juan Pablo, and Carlos, are working in Valparaíso area. The first step was to help with the presence of the church and immediately response, of course. We are talk about to give things like water, food, clothes, and other. We did a list of the lay people that was disposed to serve and the way that they can do this. As an example, we move our deacon and diaconess from South to work in Valparaíso 2 weeks. Then we move they and another voluntary team to Iquique for 1 week to rebuild roof and work with the children in emergency camps. The students for the school, ex estudiantes, ¿cómo se dice? ¿Alguien me ayuda? Former students from the school came to the school and say, what we can do, okay, come, put all in a truck, go to the places in Valparaíso to clean. The ladies of the congregation help to clean clothes, put in order things, make emergency kits, prepare emergency kits, and to find things. Who is máquina de coser? Sewing machine. For instance, one lady works like with his sewing machine, okay? And she lost, because with the fire, lost all things. Then we can find, we find this thing. And gave her. We don't give her money. We try to restart his job. The same things we do with each family. Funding cocinas. ¿Cómo se dice cocinas? El aparato. Stoves. Because the government helped with food. Many people in Chile help with food, but people can't cook the food, of course. And then we find stoves, okay? All the people need, a truck to move materials to rebuild from the store, from their house, we put the truck. And each case is studying to make a good use of the material resources, identifying the real needs of the people. How I say we identify real needs that anybody cover. And then we discover opportunities to do some ways to help. In another case, we put the families in contact with the government, because we are, of course, not the government. And also we identify opportunities for the Chilean and other churches work, and each church is invited to work in Chile to help. How a little church really can help? Yeah, but when we recognize our limitations, this is important. We can't do things that we can't. Only we can do things that we can. We are not the government. We say this all time. We just answer with what we have. Particular needs, body, and soul. I like the, as an example of the disciples, Peter and John in Acts 3, we can do the things that we are not prepared, or we can give things that we can't find, but we can give to the people the things that God gave us. And this phrase, sorry for the pictures, this is a presentation after 6 months. We don't have good pictures to show. Here, this is in the emergency camp, one of the emergency camp in Iquique, in Alto Hospicio. She's Marianela from Lutheran Hour Ministry, working with kids. This is also in Alto Hospicio. We say this all time in 2010. We don't know when, how, and how much will help you, but you be sure we will come back. And this is a good sentence to say, because we can generate big expectations into the people. We only can respond in our size. When we recognize our limitation like a small church, we develop an action plan only when we only work in Iquique and Alto Hospicio, and weekly work, of course, in Valparaíso because it's in our city. The work in Iquique is visiting the people. We start Bible studies because people asking us Bibles. This is interesting. They don't ask us clothes, but Bibles. Then when we gave the Bibles, they say, well, okay, and right now we need to you explain us the Bible, and we start Bible studies. The Bible studies happen at the hotel when we arrived the first time. The owner of the hotel is participating in our Bible studies, and she considers herself like Lutheran. I'm not sure, but of course, it's interesting that because the question was, where are the priests? Pentecostals are helping their own people, their own members, no show mercy, other people. And, well, each visit, how I says, is 4 days. We are trying to get an agreement with a university in that place to bring psychological care to the people, especially because right now, after 5 or 6 months, start to appear all post-traumatic situations. You know too much about this. In Valparaíso, the work is easily, it's not easy, but it probably is better because we can visit the people each time that we, when we have time, we visit the people. When we recognize our limitations, how we live in koinonia, living together, we can go to our sister churches and receive their help to help. How I said, we really feel the koinonia in our disasters. But I like to talk a little more about the auxiliary branches to the church, especially about the work with Lutheran Hour Ministry. Lutheran Hour Ministry starts his work in 2007 in Chile with a new mission point in Santiago. And they pass this disaster with us all time. And they are really arm of the church. They gave materials, they gave Bibles, and they start a special program with us, and this was new for me, or for us. We start a special program called Text Message in Disaster. Then, because the challenge in this time of the disaster for a small church is maintain the contact with the people that you are working. We have around 400 contacts people. We are working with around 1,000 people. And we are only 5 pastors and working a full time another 3 or 4 lay peoples. And we are not too much persons working. And then the importance of the Lutheran Hour Ministry was that this program consists in to send each week verses from the Bible, of course, selected for disaster time. And really was the results, yeah, results, I can use this word, results was really, really amazing. Sometimes we are walking and people come to us and say, "Ah, you are the church of the text message." You know? Some people ask Bibles. Maybe Alejandro can tell you in a better way the history, but a woman in Valparaiso find him after 4 months, and she says, "When I received the text message, I was thinking that God sent me this message. And I ask you the Bible because I read only the verse and I need more, you know, I need more to know what happened after this verse." And in this really helped us to maintain the contact. Can you imagine to visit 200 people in a weekend? It's impossible. We find people after 4 months in Iquique, and they really feel that they are part of a church because the text message. Of course, this is not the finish of the road, of course, but really help us to our work. I will show you a video. In a part of this video, people talk about this program from Lutheran Hour Ministry. We use too much the Emmaus Road when Jesus walked with the disciples, and we call this to walk with. How we can, what things are happen when we walk with the people. In Iquique, we contact 200 people. When we visit in a weekend, the emergency camp, for instance, we not visit only the emergency camp. We find each people that we contact the first, and each time we add more contacts. Each time that we visit, we add more contacts. But Pastor Alejandro was in August in Iquique, and when he was praying with a family in the emergency camp, other three families were knocking the door and says, "Please come to my house." And other people are asking, baptize their child, and are asking, "Where is your church?" And we say, "In Santiago, 2,000 kilometers from here. What we can do for your church, and then by your church can come and stay with us here." We bring pastoral care, psychological and material, in some of these emergency houses. We put and other things that the government is not covering. The government in Chile learned a lot after 2010 because our emergency camps are really pretty. You can see, with electricity, with water, with places to clean, to wash the clothes, to take a shower. The second step is to put outside bathrooms to each house. And what is our work? Furnitures. To bring psychological care, not to each family, but can you imagine to live 3 or 4 years waiting your new home? 150 families live in una hectárea. ¿Cuánto es una hectárea? 1 hectare? ¿Cómo se dice una hectárea? ¿Cuántos acres? Okay. 150 families living in 3 acres, you know? Each emergency house is 18 square meters. And the third step after the bathroom is to build another room, because each family is around 5 or 6. We don't know families with 4, only 4. The work is focused in especially one emergency camp in Alto Hospicio and probably another 20 families that rent a new place. The government help each family to rent a house. The problem is that if the government give you $400, when all houses destroy, the rents are around 1,000. And then with some families, we help for 3 months with the difference, you know, with the difference, $200 per month with each family, with some families, of course. This is a family that we help with furnitures. The principal work of the pastor is to visit the people, make devotions and Bible studies, and the work of the lays is rebuild or find things, buy things to give to the people. Well, in Valparaíso, more than 50 families contact. This number is from June, not from now, really. In Valparaíso, our material help was better, of course, because in Iquique, it's a long distance, really, really to help. For Iquique, we send clothes to sale for some families, for instance, to help them to restart his jobs. But in Valparaíso, we really help with special material things. Our goal is for making people's condition better while they wait for a final solution. The government is working in that. But you know the government. When you run 1 mile, the government only start to think if they can walk. And this is the good things of the church, of all charity institutions, because we can work fast. We are prepared. We know what the people, the real needs of the people. The government is thinking how we can rebuild this city. And we are thinking how we can help you. Okay? We are designing our psychologists. We extend the contract of our psychologists of our schools to bring psychological care in the places. We are working with another institutions, non-Lutherans, not non-Christians, like the University from Colombia, that they are doing our architect plan for our community center. We will buy a piece of land in a hill. It's not a good geography, Valparaíso. It's all hills. All is hard to build. It's not good, really. And it's expensive. But we, with the help of LCMS, we are buying a piece of land. And we build this place because people can move. It's very difficult for the people to move from one place to another place. You need to leave your hill to the town and there, then take another bus to our church in another hill. Somebody knows Valparaíso and it's a special city. It's not a normal city. It's not flat. Only 300 meters flat. Then it's all hills. Okay? And, well, this is it for Valparaíso. I'd like to show you a small video from Iquique and Alto Hospicio. The video from Valparaíso never was made.
Lo necesitábamos en ese momento, necesitábamos ese apoyo de que alguien te diera una palabra de aliento, de saber que alguien estaba ahí para decirte, Dios te va a ayudar, vas a salir adelante. Todo no fue tan grave, pero con el tiempo, bueno, que uno ya se va conociendo, para mí ha sido muy importante, ya que yo he pasado situaciones porque fui mamá hace poquito, de depresión, me han traído secuelas, me han traído problemas. Y esto me ha ayudado mucho, porque me he integrado bien a lo que es recibir la palabra de Dios. Obviamente uno lo agradece, mucho eso.
Y sabe que me gustaron, me encantaron. Su forma de hablar, su forma de expresarse, en ningún momento ellos exigieron nada, solamente dar aliento, y eso me gustó, y el cariño, la alegría que ellos iban, y el mismo hogar, por ejemplo, fue maravilloso, y yo estaba muy contenta, muy, muy feliz, porque mi nieta, ella jamás escucha a nadie referente a, porque hay tanta gente que anda evangelizando. Entonces, y mi nieta le encantó y yo la vi ahí, qué sé yo, y estuvimos contentos. Es como que cuando llegan ellos, es como llegó mi familia, llegó la alegría.
Y bastante, porque tenía bastante palabras de ellos, de consuelo a mí, pasando por un momento difícil. Y y es una bendición para mí.
A ver, a mí en lo personal ha significado importante, porque creo que hay muchas veces que uno está muy abajo y ustedes llegan justo en el momento en que uno necesita de que alguien le diga que todo va a estar bien, que Dios está con uno. Es que te dan ánimo. Es agradable verlos. Es grato que estén en nuestro hogar. Es grato, nos conocimos allá en el campamento. Fue grato conocerlos. Sigue siendo grato recibirlos. Y siempre tengan fe de que en mi casa o en la casa de mi hermana, siempre van a encontrar las puertas abiertas para ustedes. Para cualquiera que venga de su iglesia, cualquier pastor que quiera acercarse, si no van a ser ustedes, siempre van a estar abiertos.
Es espectacular, totalmente espectacular, porque como les vuelvo a repetir, estoy pasando un mal momento y llegan así de la nada, entonces uno no se lo espera y una subida de ánimo, pero totalmente importante eso.
A mí lo que más me gusta son los mensajes semanales, a mí me encantan porque mi celular suena por hartas cosas. Pero cuando suena por el llamado de la iglesia, cuando suena para darme una palabra de aliento, para decirme que el sol mañana va a brillar y que el día va a estar lindo porque está iluminado por la iglesia, es maravilloso. Y a veces uno dice, está feo el día, ay, tengo que ir a trabajar, empieza a pensar en la carga del día. Pero llega ese mensaje maravilloso que te dice, levántate, sigue, estamos contigo. Dale, sí, que mañana será un nuevo día y no va a ser tan pesado. Y eso es maravilloso. Levantarse con el mensaje es maravilloso. Así que al que los haga, un besito y síganme mandando mensajes, por favor. No lo dejen.
Oye, a mí me gustaría que estuvieran acá. Me gustaría porque yo me siento muy acogida con la iglesia. Y a mí me gustaría que hubiera una iglesia acá, ya que, bueno, yo quiero bautizar a mi hijo. Ya cabe en mi mente bautizarme yo también con la iglesia. Y me gustaría pertenecer. Me gustaría tener un lugar en donde asistir, en donde decir, como fuera, chiquitito, como fuera, pero llegar ahí, llegar en donde uno puede, digamos, recibir la palabra de Dios, como uno la es, como la ha recibido hasta ahora.
Yo pienso que aquí en Iquique debía de haber una sucursal, pero con los mismos pastores. Porque, bueno, ellos son los que nos han encaminado a nosotros, nos han ayudado en darnos aliento, en hablarnos de las cosas de Dios. Yo todavía no participo bien en alguna reunión. Siempre hemos tenido así reuniones, no sé cómo será realmente, pero me gusta, yo quiero asistir, quiero ayudar en lo que sea.
Sería muy bueno porque hace, a ver, a pesar de que hay bastantes iglesias y todo aquí, ninguna cumple el requisito que la gente necesita aquí, tanto en hospicio como en Iquique. Una palabra de aliento, el estar ahí en el momento importante. Entonces sería bien importante que estuviera aquí una sede de iglesia luterana.
Creyendo en Dios, que siga creyendo que su trabajo es súper, súper importante. Aunque no se note, lo es.
Que siga teniendo la fuerza. Y que siga mandando esos mensajes, como dice mi hermana, que son muy importantes. Porque a veces uno, como ella dice, levantarse o acostarse, o terminar el día con una frase hermosa, te llena el alma. Y aunque uno muchas veces no comparta la misma creencia, es muy importante que alguien te recuerde que hay alguien más importante que tú y que esa persona te ama. Y que no te va a dar más de lo que tú puedas soportar.
Dice sí. Thank you.
One of the things that made a huge impression on me and the few other people that went down to Chile was the passion of the Chilean pastors and the whole church to help out in times of disaster. And one thing that's striking also is their thoughtfulness in everything that they do. They put thought, they have a plan, they're strategic, because they know that they're limited as far as their capacity financially, their labor, the resources of how many lay people that they have to help. So every single thing that they do is strategic. And what Christian was emphasizing is, yeah, the government does kind of broad stuff. Like they'll come in and they might rebuild a temporary house, but there's no stove in it. There's no closet inside of it. So it's just the most rustic shelter. That's where they are strategically finding ways to do little things to make people's lives a whole lot better. And we always say that we can't always do everything in a time of disaster, but we can do something. And those are the type of opportunities that they're always looking for in those times of disasters. How can they do it? And most of the time, they do it by not just giving cash to people, but by actually taking care of whatever those physical needs are. And that's what he was mentioning about with the sewing machine. He knew that this person needed a sewing machine, a simple sewing machine, to be able to get back on their feet. So they went down, tracked down a sewing machine, and were able to take care of those people's needs so that they could have an income and their life would be rebuilt together. Always, they're talking about body and soul, taking care of not just the temporal needs, but also the spiritual needs. And you can see the passion that Christian has in taking care of people's spiritual needs. And you can also hear his passion. What the LCMS has done is we've given a grant to the Chilean church to do a mercy center in the burnt-out area in Valparaiso. Valparaiso seemed like a logical place to do work because they already have other congregations, they have a school, they have a network in that area. So we gave $28,000 to buy a couple of lots and then $10,000 to start the building of a church and mercy and outreach center. And as he was explaining, when you see Valparaiso, it's a city literally on a hill. There's only a few feet ashore, and then it goes straight up. So to get from one part of the city to the other is very difficult, especially trying to take buses. There's streets that are so steep that you think that it's not physically possible for cars to go up or down on. And so it's impossible for someone to get through a couple of the mountain passes or sides to get to where the other church is. So that's a great opportunity that they have, not only to help people with their temporal needs in the area that was completely burned down, but also to go back in and take care of their spiritual needs as well by starting a church and mercy center. You'll have a lot of opportunities this week to hear a lot of what's on his heart and his burden and his passion to start a congregation up in the north part of the country that is that one-day drive away. It makes it difficult because they have limited amount of pastors to plant a church and limited resources to do it. But the desire is there. Constantly, when we were there, people were wanting to know about, do you have Bibles? Do you have a church that's nearby? Are you going to leave us? Are you going to be able to come back? And constantly, when they've gone back every month on the weekend, they're asked, is there a church in the area? What can you give us? And one of the greatest needs in Chile is not just the things of this world, which there is a need for that, but it's a spiritual need. And it's neat to see as a pastor, as the head of his church, that passion that he has for the people that are lost. And I'll mention it later in my presentation, but one of the greatest disasters that people can go through is dying outside of the Christian faith. And they're doing every single thing that they can as pastors, whether it's sending text messages with scripture verses of encouragement to people to get that gospel message out. And it's completely appreciated every single place that they've been. Everywhere that they go, you know that the church is present. They talk about Christ. They dress like people that bring Christ to the community and the community to Christ. So it's been a real honor and a pleasure to be able to work with them as partners. And people that you see that don't necessarily need help, but that what they need is a brother in Christ. And it's great to be a brother in Christ, to side by side work together for the kingdom. I wanted to give you guys a piece of art, and those who are new to us today and weren't here yesterday, we've commissioned a Christian Lutheran artist to hand paint something for our presenters. And I brought two pieces of art to present to you. For Pastor Lopez, we picked out Peace Be Still, because in the middle of disastrous times and disastrous events, that peace that the Lord brings that surpasses all understanding is something that's hard to explain, but we as Christians have all experienced. So this is a reminder of Christ and the cross and the peace that Christ brings to us as Christians. So, Pastor Lopez. As the bishop, as the president, as the pastor, you can see President Christian's heart for his people, for his community, for his country, and for the gospel. And so we picked out for him the cross on it, which says, "Feed my sheep." And in the middle of the cross, you can see the sacrament is there. So it's feeding people with the word of God and with the bread of Christ. Gracias. Muchas gracias.